Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
And you're still on Joy 94.9, as you have been all morning. Thank you very much for joining us. It's Mark with Escape Pod, and thank you very much to Nathan and Danny for a fantastic Cravings. Pete Dillon is a little bit under the weather today, so he wasn't able to join us, but he certainly had organised a wonderful show and was with us in spirit. He was up in Queensland all last week with the Cairns Food and Wine Festival. Today on Joy 94.9 for Escape Pod, we're missing Jo again. She's still in New Zealand having a wonderful time. We were trying to get her on air, but she's at a winery and has other things in front of her that she would prefer to be putting in her mouth rather than a microphone. So instead of that, we've got Adam Bold. Adam Bold is, this is not his first lap around the race course here at Joy 94.9. Adam, tell us what you do and what your engagement is with GLBTI2R2D2 radio and tourism.
Hello. I wear a couple of hats. My real job is actually I run a gay events business in Sydney called Points of Difference Events, and we produce basically fabulous gay events for the gay and lesbian community. In addition to that, I also now work as a travel agent for Out and About Travel. So I'm sort of combining my two loves of events and travelling and now getting out and doing more things and basically helping our community to sort of find fabulous things to do and enjoy.
So you've been on before twice already on Escape Pod.
Yes, I think twice.
And the first time you came to talk about Frosty Fruits, and that's about to happen again. Tell us what Frosty Fruits is.
So Frosty Fruits is Australia's Gay and Lesbian Ski Week, held each year at Hotham Alpine Resort, which is in the Victorian Alps, which is not too far from here. And this is basically a six-day program where we basically bring together gays and lesbians from all over the country to come together and ski or board or indeed just hang around and play in the snow.
Yep.
It's a sort of fun...
In makeup.
Well, the nice thing about snow is when it melts, it doesn't stain. So it's really nice and clean. But it's an event that's we're on mountain. So Hotham Alpine Village is actually at 1,750 metres above sea level. The chalets we have are right in the middle of the village. They're right on the top of the mountain, so it's ski-in, ski-out sort of experience. We give people a week of programs where they can do things. It's a lot about catching up and doing the skiing. Each evening we have events. So there's a dinner event. We do group catch-ups each day. There's arpres. There's some really nice eateries down there as well, so we get to have a really good food and wine experience as well. And then there's day spas, there's dog sledding. Last year we had Joyce Mange join us out of Sydney to perform the highest drag show in Australia, which is about as camp as you can get. This year we're still working on a few surprises, but it should be a nice broad experience again. And it's a really nice way to spend, you know, a few days in the snow.
So this is a gay-only event or...?
Everyone's welcome, but it's a gay and lesbian. We are a gay and lesbian event.
Yeah, okay. So if you've got a mate who wants to go, that's
no
cool.
problem at all. And there's some lovely trans women that are actually down there as well. They always come and join us. One of them
drives the bus. So it's more of a rainbow event rather than a gay event.
Diversity is included,
diversity celebrated.
Yeah. And look, we always get a lot of women that come along. It's very mixed, which is great, and it's very accessible.
Let's go through the dates again, because winter is nigh. So this is only a couple of months off, isn't it?
Yeah, it's August 20 to 25th, which is still 2.5 months away, yep. I think. So winter is coming, but we've got a little while to go.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
The wind's coming from the south.
Everybody's
into
Game of Thrones.
So much. Yeah.
So, okay. Now, we know who you are, Adam. Now we want to talk about getting ready for ski season. Whether you're going on Frosty Fruits or you're going somewhere else, what has someone got to do to get ready for ski season? Because it's not just about buying a figure-hugging ski athletic wear to hug your girlish figure.
Though I believe Audi can help you with that. Look, any sort of physical activity, we are a sporting event as well as being social. So beginners are welcome. Novices are welcome. Come along and have a go. That's the really good thing. And Hotham's really good for that with instructors. Mm. But a general level of fitness, the thing for people that haven't been to the snow before, you are at altitude. Like we're 1,700 metres up, which means everything it affects your cardiovascular fitness. So being fit generally.
Yeah.
Being
knees, ankles.
That sort of thing would be good. You can actually do particular exercises, lateral strengthening through the knees and that sort of thing. Slide classes used to be great for this sort of thing.
Oh, a slide class. Remember slides? Yeah.
Do they still do them? I know it was...
I do not know that.
Yeah, but they were really good because there was all that lateral strength through the knees. A good personal trainer or a good gym would be able to actually give you a 4-week, 6-week program to get you fit for the snow.
All set in the Australian Outback. Really interesting.
Oh, fantastic.
So we're talking about two of the extremes that are available in Australia when it comes to recreation, the Outback Desert and also the Highland Snow. Getting to the Highland Snow, let's talk about how to get to Hotham. Are you...
get on the bus.
Yeah,
we actually, we're working with the Hotham Bus Company to actually get people there. It's a really easy trip. I would not suggest driving to the snow because you have to actually pay gate entry and that sort of thing to have your car up there. And you can't park it with you. You have to park it kilometres down the road and then schlep back up. So get on the bus, get there. You could charter a plane and fly into Hotham Airport if you so feel inclined, but I reckon the coach is the easiest way to get there.
Right.
You don't have to drive. You can just relax, have something to eat, and just enjoy the experience as you get there. And once you're there, you don't have to do anything. We do everything for you, and we actually bus you around when we're up there, when we go down the road to the local village as well. It's all really easy.
So the accommodation, do you get different levels of choice?
It's all... The accommodation we have is pretty much top-end anyway, which is really good. We do have some more budget accommodation there as well, but we actually target the chalets that are on mountain, which is basically a four-story, four-bedroom chalet, top levels living area. And they're right, because we're on the top of the mountain, the views are absolutely stunning across the valley. You can get studio accommodation as well, but the nice thing with us is that you can actually book in a bed and actually we can actually, grab you a bed. You don't have to book the whole chalet, which is the nice thing. And the nice thing with those is there's open, there's a fireplace in there. It's open living. It's all heated and it's all really accessible.
8 nights, that's a lot of time. And if you're sick to death of sliding down a hill, what is there to do? Walk to Dinner Plains is always a nice thing to do.
Well, if you've got to spare 20 minutes. It's 20 minutes by car, so it'd be a bit longer.
Yeah, Dinner Plains is, it's a decent walk. And it's a nice little village at Dinner Plains. I like it.
Well, we do a couple of events down there. So there's a fantastic Japanese restaurant down there called Subo.
Where's that?
In Dinner Plains, just... Big Muster Drive, I think it's called.
Yeah, that round that circle round of thing, shops and sort of little hut things.
Right next to the spa and the onsen.
Oh.
So, that's the thing. Yeah. So you've got the day spa down there.
So between the sort of like tuck shop thing and they have really good coffee there.
Yes. Yep.
And then the pub kind of in between those. Right.
Yep. So that's fantastic food. The onsen's great, so you can actually do full day spa treatments there. There is one on the mountain as well, but the one actually at Dinner Plain, it has a authentic Japanese onsen, which means it's got the salts, minerals in the water, and there's a lap pool there, there's a gym there. You can get your massages and treatments, and the pub's just across the road.
Yeah, after you've relaxed, it's a nice place to go and relax.
Absolutely. Put your feet up or down, as the case may be.
So what else is up there that's queer friendly? Because, it's, skiing is sometimes considered very family or young people going and getting smashed in Jindabyne kind of thing. So when it comes to queer friendly things, what else is outside of Frosty Fruits? What goes on that's queer friendly?
The I have to say the mountain is the gayest mountain in Australia. They're really welcoming and friendly from the staff point of view, and they really do love the gays being there. As I said, there seems to be a thing about Dinner Plain, and there's a trans community that are there.
In Dinner Plain,
yeah. There's a few that have transitioned and have got a lot of support from the community there, and some live locally.
Yeah.
And so they've had good support from that area as well, which is really nice.
Oh, that's fantastic. I mean, even in summer, it's a lovely drive around anywhere between Bright, Hotham, all around that area. It's just such a stunning part of the world.
You can do it with your hiking and mountain biking, that sort of thing. It's a really nice area to be in.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's clean. The air is amazing.
And has it started snowing yet? Yes,
yes, it has.
The first time. So has any of that melted off, or is it sticking?
It's sticking. It's cold. Like it's cold now.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So where do you need chains from?
You need chains as soon as you go off snow. Basically from Harrietville, which is the main way in. You can come in from the other direction. But to get from Melbourne, you actually sort of go up and then come back down.
Yeah.
Anything above chain, you must carry chains in Victoria. It's by law. But again, I wouldn't bother. Get on the bus. Get on the Hotham bus out of Melbourne. It's much, much easier. You can also fly into Albury Airport and get on our Tripper Express, which we're actually chartering our own coach to get people from Albury straight to the snow this year.
Okay.
Makes it much easier.
So, I mean, one of my favourite places and one of my favourite guests is the Butter Factory.
The Myrtleford Butter Factory.
Myrtleford Butter Factory. Yeah.
Yes. They do. They've closed their cafe, which...
What? When did that happen?
Yeah, they're still serving there, but they've just bought the whole range down. Last year we went in there very excited to actually do our pit
stop. Because Natalie's been
on
a few times.
Yeah, the product is still there and it is fantastic. I still have their truffle butter in my freezer.
That's really good.
Which is fantastic. And even the garlic as well. So they're still producing there. And the nice thing, you can pop in there and actually see them actually making it.
Yeah.
They do
yeah.
tours of the place.
Oh, so it's a great location, and Nat's been on a couple of times, and she, if she's listening, big wave, she brings fresh butter because it's cultured butter, and that's the difference.
Yes.
It's really interesting how she's done the whole thing. And she drives it down and drops it off for sale in Melbourne, then drives back and then goes back to work. So when my friend and I drove on a Saturday, and it was about 11 a.m. and we'd arrived, and we thought we were so heroic because we left Melbourne at 6 o'clock, and we were quite proud to tell everybody, you know, how early we had gotten up to travel, and she was back after having done deliveries and go, I was in Melbourne this morning. It's going, no, hold on. We're the biggest heroes of the planet, and I'll wait on.
But it's an easy drive, though, isn't it?
It is. Oh, look, until you get to Seymour, there's not much to look at. But as soon as you get past there, Violettown, Wangaratta, and then as you go around to Bright, Omeo, Harrietville, Smoko, all these places are just so beautiful. You could sit anywhere.
And you find these really nice little eateries in there. Actually, the guys that first opened Subo, whose names escaped me, actually moved and closed and then opened up a restaurant in Bright. But they're now coming – they're leaving that there, but they're coming back to Hotham and opening up another mountain kitchen.
Right.
And they're partnering with another couple that are a two-hat chef that's there. So I don't have the full details on that yet because they haven't fully announced it, but that's looking really exciting. And there's all these little places there.
Joy 94.9 is on air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But sometimes you can't always be with us when you want to. Here's the solution. Here's the solution. Listen to your favourite Joy 94.9 show anytime with our Joy podcast service. Our team of over 30 volunteers pick out the best bits from around 60 programs that Joy airs each week, made available to you for free download. To find a podcast of your favourite Joy show, search for us in the featured providers section within the iTunes store, or find them on the Joy website, joy.org.au. Joy Podcasts. Any show, any show, anytime, joy.org.au.
We have a special guest on the line. We have Lainey May. Lainey is the author of several books. Welcome to Joy 94.9, Lainey.
Yeah, thanks, Mark.
Lainey, tell us about your latest book. We understand that you're someone who has a deep love and understanding of Australia's outback.
Yeah, I lived in the outback for a long time, travelled in the outback. It's another world. People have to be different, behave differently, think differently. To exist out there, sometimes it's a very harsh situation. But from that, I first picked up the idea to write a short story about a property I lived on in Western Australia. And it's a historical setting and a historical background to the property. So I wound that around with fantasy, which is interesting. A number of different characters were involved. The thing
so is
that
this 50 Shades of the Outback?
Pardon?
Is this 50 Shades of the Outback?
Yeah, well, it could be, couldn't it? Yeah, it could be.
So tell us about the history of this this property you're talking about in WA.
It's just astounding because it's still sitting there. It's a lovely old homestead overlooking fields, fields of nothing. But the young chap who built the property up was actually 18 when he got there with his 16-year-old brother, which I found absolutely amazing.
Whereabouts are we talking, Lani?
We're talking... I can't give you the exact names because of situations that happened there. But
In a west?
It's in West Australia on the southern coast, between Albany and Esperance. I can go that far.
Yep. Okay, that's a beautiful part of the world.
It is.
Rough-hewn.
Beautiful spot. And the fact that the history was there, the chap's family called in and gave us a diary of a police constable's scratchings who was supposed to be looking for a murderer that happened to happen in the story, the real story. And, from the book, what I picked up of his diary and what we found around the property, it's just astounded me that West Australia had all this history and nobody knew about it.
So have you crafted a fantasy story, or is it more that you've changed the names and then written a narrative around it?
I've changed the names and I've crafted a fantasy story.
So what's the major part? Which book is this? You've got three books, haven't you, Lani?
Yes. This is the first book. It's called Even the Land Cries. Mm-hmm. And, it's a fantasy story around these two young chaps, their journey across to their property and what they found there, the young women that they linked up with eventually, the Aboriginal tribe that also lived on the property at the river, and there's a whole link-up of stories and... maybe this happened, maybe it didn't. Innuendos throughout. It's quite an interesting weave. And even yet, some people right at the end, I couldn't really say what I thought. I thought I'll leave it to people to work out who they figured had murdered this young fella.
So I was going to say, is it a love story? Is it a murder? Is it a murder mystery?
It's definitely a murder in the middle of it. What it is, though, the book is called a novella, which actually means following the characters of young people developing. They're developing characters throughout, and that's what I actually did. And the man that I thought was the hero, and who was, in the long. At the very end, he became quite problematic with depression, which just happened to happen as I wrote.
Right.
So it's interesting, and from what I gathered, it's highly likely that he did have some depressive elements happening in his life because of the hardships that they faced.
So when you were living in WA, were you living in this space for a long time, and how did that change you?
I actually lived in the old homestead.
Oh, you lived on the property itself, the exact same homestead?
We did.
Oh, wow, okay. Yeah. Was that imbued with the ghost of their history? Is that how this inspired you?
Yes, it did. And also I think what really got to me was there was a... feeling about the place that was history. It wasn't a spooky feeling. It was almost like it took me back to 1868.
Like a comfortable feeling?
Comfortable feeling, but it was, it was just, there's something still on the property that's there that's not settled.
Right.
And it's all linked up in Aboriginal law and the situation that happened there. And it's very interesting because even now there's things that happen and people, Aboriginal people, won't live there.
I was going to ask, if are there more stories to come out of this place? Is this the story that's been told, or are there other stories to come?
I think this is probably the story. It stopped and started with this story. I'm not sure of anything that's happened before the 1868 history. And after the story, what I'm talking about in the story, there's nothing new except the fact that it's the homestead is completely cut off from almost from reality, from the world. It's just sitting there back in history.
Wow.
Nothing's changed. It's just an astounding place, beautiful place.
So, Lainey, just talk about yourself for a moment. We're calling you in Queensland, so you've obviously lived all around Australia.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, so where else have you lived?
I've lived in South Australia, in Whyalla.
Yeah.
And northwest of West Australia.
Like Broome?
Not as far as Broome. I was in Karratha.
Karratha, yeah.
Roebourne. That area when it was being established.
Yeah.
So that was very wild and woolly. Yeah. Could tell you some tales about that.
You're going to have to put them in books because I think they'll be bestsellers.
Yeah, not wrong.
Mm. And you're currently in Queensland?
What was that again?
And you're currently in Queensland?
Yes, we're in Queensland.
Yeah. So you've been all over.
In the southwest of West Australia and have lived up around Mackay, the minefields up around that area.
Wow.
But I'm that sort of a person that I really need to see the country and the land and meet the people before I could write a book. Yeah, it's just interesting. I feel comfortable writing about people, say, in Middlemount, in the middle of Queensland, if I don't know the country or the people.
So, Lainey, how do people get their hands on your book?
Well, if they go on to the internet, my web page is laineymay.com.
And I'll just spell that. That's laineymay.com. Yep.
Laineymay.com. And it should come up with my web page, which is... it does have buttons to press and carry on.
And buy now, I'm sure, yes.
Yeah, all that.
Lainey, thank you so much for joining us today on Joy 94.9. It's been brilliant to talk to you. And it's fascinating what these stories are of early Australian history and how they've people integrated with the Indigenous people and how that's played out over time. Thank you very much for preserving history and combining it with a bit of fantasy and creating a wonderful read for us. Thank you very much, Lainey.
Thank you so much.
Joy 94.9 has a huge range of programs available for podcast. In fact, Joy is one of the largest podcasting communities on community radio. If you haven't checked out our podcasting service, you're missing out. Visit joy.org.au, click on the podcast tab, and you'll find a list of Joy programs regularly sharing the best interviews, news, and reviews. There's tens of thousands of hours for you to enjoy, so check it out now. joy.org.au.
That's where you are all afternoon. Thank you for joining us on Escape Pod. It's Mark here. I'm here with Adam Bold. Jo is traipsing around New Zealand. She's in the Southern Island having the time of anyone's life.
Is she bungeeing?
Huh?
Is she bungeeing?
I don't know if she's a bungeer. I think she's more of a turn left in an airplane, go to somewhere where people do stuff for you, enjoy things brought to you on silver plates kind of person.
Nice. That's how I like to travel.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Jo's the kind of person that I have not seen her in the same outfit twice in all the years I've known her. She has to live in a multiple roomed dwelling, one room's for accessories, one room's closet, and one room's for the furs. But don't tell anyone.
No.
I know, right? But it's all right. They were all done. She's a vintage girl, and they were all done before it was bad.
Okay. That's all right then.
When animals didn't have any feelings.
No.
Back then. So we've got a huge lineup. We've got plenty of great shows, all the classics on Joy 94.9. After we finish here, we've got Critical Hit, which are the boys twiddling their knobs and telling us about how to have the best time with video games.
Are they gamers?
They're gay gamers.
I love a gay gamer.
Yeah,
I'm a bit of a gamer myself.
Yep. And they're big, beautiful bears, and we just love them. Yeah, yeah, we've got a – because they also – well, half the team also does breakfast radio. I forgot the name of the shows. I'm so sorry. I'll have Luke scowling at me through the –
Breakfast with the Bears.
Yeah, yeah, and then there's one with Mark Haddon in the evenings. I'm going to go and find out more details.
You're drying on everything, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm drowning. After a critical hit, we have the boys from Fender Bender talking all about cars, giving us a rev up with that. And then we've got Techno Gaze, all things IT and how it fits into society, keeping you plugged in. We've got Michael and Mark. Mark's just come back from overseas for a while. So we're going to have him on Escape Pod in the future talking about his recent trip to Central Europe and Germany and Austria. And
I hope you got an app for that.
He's actually got an app to teach him German. And we're going to talk to him about that. Cool. And I'm going to encourage him to learn a lot because I went to school in Germany and I want him to do it all in German. So we're going to pretend we're SBS.
Can you swear
the
in
soccer
German?
Broadcasting station. Ja, natürlich. I can do everything in
German.
Okay,
lovely.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a bit... I'm not going to go any further with that. So, Adam, your role with Frosty Fruits and, you tell the story. You're an organiser, which is basically what you do.
Yeah, I'm
really
an
in the
producer.
Queer community.
Yes, yes. So I started off doing that. I actually came out of a theatre background many, many years ago. But the events,
a homo in the theatre?
I know. Who would have thought?
You must have been very lonely.
I was in Perth. but no, so yes. So finding...
So who was it? You and Arnie Barrel?
Yeah. No, it was the Lord Mayoress of Northbridge, yes.
Right.
The Lady Lord, yeah, Lady Lord Mayoress, yes, that's another story.
Yeah.
Yes. That's local history. No, so...
I can tell she was a woman because it had an S at the end.
Well, that's
because that's
story.
How historically
yes,
you tell the difference
correct.
Between boys and girls.
Correct. And except in the gay community, everything's slightly twisted. So I produce events and find, as I said, fabulous things for people to do. Frosty Fruits came out of that desire to actually create a winter experience for people because... Our culture is very much about doing things in the warm time. Mm-hmm. That being said, there's nothing wrong with doing things when it's warm.
No.
It allows you to do lots of exercise.
Up.
Exactly, exactly. So, so Frosty Fruits is there and people keep saying to me, though, look, it's I don't really like the snow. It's cold. And have you got something warmer? So we looked around and we actually came up with another product, which is the Island Fruits Tropical Cruise.
Okay, tell us about that.
Well, that's actually a... hosted gay group on a straight cruise. So it's not like an Atlantis cruise when there's 2,500 men in their Speedos dancing around drinking cocktails.
Oh, harrowing.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. But for some people that can be a little bit intimidating. So we wanted to find something that was a little bit more approachable for people. So we've teamed up with Celebrity, the Celebrity Cruise Lines and the Celebrity Solstice, which is a fabulous cruise ship. And it actually departs from Sydney. Hmm. To New Caledonia. So it's an eight-night, nine-day cruise, goes from Sydney to New Caledonia. We take a hosted gay group on board, so you get to travel with like-minded people, with a host, which is me looking after you, and we basically experience all the fabulous things that you can do on a celebrity ship, and the Solstice class is a fantastic vehicle. And then we sort of add this gay layer of exciting things to do on top. So we do some cocktail parties, we do some specialty dining experiences, we do sort of group catch-ups each day. And when we get to Noumea, which is our third port of call, we actually go ashore and we meet a local gay guide.
Okay.
Yep. So Michael, who's our gay guide in Noumea.
He's your go-to gay?
He actually is. We've done this trip a couple of times now, and the first time we met him, we were his first ever gay group.
Okay.
And he's done the, you know, the group thing before.
But so much innuendo from cocktails to group thing.
But he'd actually never done a gay group, and it was really nice because he got a little bit teary. And he was very excited to actually welcome us there, which was really nice.
So is he Noumean?
He is, yes. He's
an
islander.
He's an islander.
Okay. Yep.
So what's the scene like there? What's it like? And well, what's the legal situation in Noumea?
He actually, the legality...
Is he literally the only gay in the village?
No. This is the lovely thing. He actually, in the tour we did, he actually took us to where the gays meet. So we were on our coach and we drive out of the main town or out of Noumea, and we ended up in this field and the bus pulled up and there were some other cars there and the bus pulled up and he said, "Now come with me, I want to show you where the gays meet." So we then walk up this path and suddenly we arrive on a cliff top.
It's awfully foreboding.
Well, he basically said, "Look, the path down there, that's the nude beach, and that's on that side, on the right is for the gays and on the left is for the straights.
Oh, okay.
And this is where the gay men go to meet. So they don't have the bar sort of cultural things that we do.
So much innuendo.
But this is you know, yep. It's a different culture, and it's, I would say it's a developing culture and an emerging culture.
Okay.
There actually is a business community there. Mm-hmm. There was a gay bar, but that had closed down, unfortunately.
Due to lack of
Never quite got the story. I think
legal?
So, yeah. I don't think it's legality that's there. And it was interesting meeting him because they're all very happy. Mm. They're actually, it is much more relaxed there. And certainly it's the culture is much more relaxed and, you know, it's island time and that sort of thing.
Okay. So is it like some of the islands in that area that have had a very strong Christian church element laid over them? They're very Baptist and anti-gay, or are they a bit loosey-goosey?
Because it's a French colony, there's that different European twist to it too, because the French are slightly different. So the take on it's slightly different. I think there are some cultural barriers there still.
Yeah.
And again, it's. I mean, you know, we could go there as a gay group, and we were quite comfortable, and there was no issues around that.
No one wandering around with pitchforks and. No.
But you know, you don't see evidence. I didn't really see great evidence of rainbow flags or anything like that.
Right.
So,
but it's a small community. What's the population in Noumea?
4,000 comes to mind, but I'm not sure if that's too small. It reminded me, it's
tiny.
It is. I mean, a place like Geraldton or. It's probably slightly smaller than Newcastle, I think. It's quite interesting because there is tin mine that's there.
Yeah.
So there's this tourism industry that's there, but it's combined with the mining industry, which, of course, is doing all the horrible environmental things that mining industries do. But that's where they get their lifeblood from. So you've got the cruise ships coming in and, you know, people coming ashore, and then the industry that's actually there that they're actually, you know, in a sense competing with.
Okay, so Noumea's got about 80,000, and then...
there we go.
Okay, that's reasonable size. You know, it's not...
It's like when you actually go up, and there's a lookout that you can go up to that lays the village out, or the town out in front of you, it's all very flat. Mm. There's not a lot of high-rise at all. And yes, indeed, there are, you know, you can see the cathedral, and the dominant church buildings are actually there, as you'd expect in those sort of areas. But then it's just, I mean, it's relatively clean and that sort of thing too, but it is a island town.
Yeah, right. Okay, so it's pretty progressive considering it's a quite a small community in the South Pacific. I mean, it's not an area where you felt under any threat or no people were trying to come and convert you from your wicked ways. Okay, that's cool.
No.
So would you recommend Noumea? Obviously do, with tropical fruits.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
yes.
What are the highlights of Noumea for anybody who's going there, let alone LGBTI2?
Well, you know, culinary. It's French cuisine, it's French Pacific cuisine. So it's, I mean, and they speak French, which I don't, unfortunately. So you do need a local translator sometimes.
Is English widely spoken?
They do speak it, but like in the restaurant where we ate, the waitstaff do speak French. So, you know, you are ordering off a French menu.
Right.
And that sort of thing. So if you know French, that is very handy to actually go there.
Right.
The currency, you actually have the Pacific dollar that's there, so you've got that currency as well, which is about 1 to 100 Australian, I think, the way that it works. Yeah. But you can do the touristy things that are there. There's the local village, the town museum. There's the cultural museum that's there. They have an aquarium that's there as well, so you can access that sort of thing. But the local islands around as well, like the Isle of Pines, I mean, that's where you go and you do scuba diving. The waters there are beautiful.
Right.
There's lots of marine life there. There's lots of protection in the area as well. But it's your white pristine. It's the stereotypical white beach, blue water.
Oh, you know, beautiful.
It's lovely.
Thing of postcards.
Yeah, it is. It is, it is.
Do you have a business, product or service that needs to be seen and heard? Become a Joy sponsor and get the best of both worlds. Have your message heard on air by 329,000 monthly listeners. Have your message seen online at joy.org.au via the Joy sponsorship directory. Sponsorship starts from as low as $295. And best of all, those who sponsor us for more than 1 month are featured on our listing free. Yes, free! Call 1-300-JOY-949 or email sales@joy.org.au for more details. Joy 94.9, the diverse voice of the GLBTI community.
I don't think it's that's going to do it. Joe's in New Zealand, sloshing around in a vineyard, I'm assuming, and I'm here with Adam Bold. Adam's from Frosty Fruits and a whole bunch of other organisations. We were just talking about the tropical island fruits, tropical cruise, just before, and the beautiful world of Noumea. So, Adam, when people get together and go on gay cruises, what's the usual profile of people who go? You were talking before about there are some cruises that are just sort of roid rage speedo bashes.
So let's shall we say,
well, you
circuit
say
boys? Well, this
maybe
look,
I paraphrased.
Look, the thing. I mean, the cruise market is one of the strongest growing markets in the leisure area.
Yeah, right.
And Australia is now getting more cruise lines coming down. We're very excited to be seeing. Royal Caribbean is bringing down, or Caribbean, depending which way you want to say it, one of their new cruise lines next year, which is very exciting because it's their, and I've now lost the name of the word, it's not Odyssey class, it's the top of the line, you know, it's got its own satellite, so Wi-Fi is not a problem, but it's they're really right. Doing a lot of development. The profile of the guests, though, as different cruises have different things. So there are drag cruises in the US. There are bear cruises.
So it's horses for cruises.
Yeah, look, I mean, an Atlantis cruise is very friendly. It's more of a circuit party, but it's very mixed. I've been on one, and it's a very mixed crowd. You've got Olivia doing the women's cruises that, again, different.
Yeah.
What we're doing with Island Fruits is providing, as a, you know, a accessible group for anybody in the gay and lesbian market to actually come along and just try it. We had a lady a couple of years ago that bought her mother. And a lovely Italian lady. We didn't see a lot of her because she just changed her medication, so she spent a lot of time in the cabin just getting used to it. But the staff looked after her, which was lovely.
Yeah.
So that's, people are in their 20s, their 30s, their 40s, their 50s, their 60s. It's very mixed. It's singles, it's couples.
Right.
The different cruise lines offer a different product.
And different price points.
Exactly. Celebrity is, I would say, above P&O but below Cunard. And it's more of a couples, adults market, not a family ship, which is more carnival and that sort of thing. So that's why we're actually on Celebrity Solstice, because it's a much more product that fits the type of group we want. And there's 100 brands of vodka on board.
Now, is there a vodka tour?
It is. You sit at the bar and you start on the left and you work your way down to the right.
Okay. I was about to say something.
They do.
Joy needs to keep its license.
Look, it's more of a sophisticated product. And it's a molecular cocktail bar. They do different. Right. There's cabaret shows that are like Cirque du Soleil.
Okay.
It's that sort of. There's cabaret lounges. There's films, and the bigger cruise ships obviously have more entertainment product as
what
well.
What about, aside from being distracted, are there physical things to do? Is there gym? Is there yoga?
Oh,
is
God,
there,
yes.
Yeah.
So normally there's a spa program of some sort that you can go to. They have gyms. There's the running track around the boat. Of course, it's a kilometre or a kilometre and a half by the time you've gone around it, just doing the jogging. But they have a full gym. There's orbit machines, the cardiovascular. Right. They do yoga classes. They do stretch classes. Celebrity is the Solstice as well has a grass top deck, so you can actually go and play like grass bowls and that sort of thing and have a picnic on the grass.
Is it real grass or
is it real grass? No, it's real grass, and they actually change it whether they're in southern hemisphere or north, but it's real grass and you can go up there and roll around in it and have a fabulous time in the sun
in the middle of the ocean.
It's a bit of
how unusual.
It's really strange when you actually. But it's lovely. It's nice, soft grass. It's part of the experience that they're offering something a little bit different and a little bit more sophisticated.
So this isn't a golf thing, is it?
No. Okay. It's like a picnic thing.
In the middle of the ocean.
In the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, we're in the Pacific. Let's roll out a mat and
exactly.
Pop a cork. Okay. So price points, what are people going to invest in this kind of experience?
Look, I mean, obviously the longer you go, the more it costs you, but the price per day comes down. So you can do our trips probably, inside cabins start from about $1,700, and then they go up from there depending on the category. Basically, inside cabin you don't have a window, and then you go outside you have a window, then you can have a balcony, and then basically the level of service increases, so you get more access to more things, specialty dining, spa treatments. You've got your own menu that you can choose your pillow from, priority boarding, extra dressing gowns.
So you can throw money at any problem.
You can. The penthouse apartments on these are actually quite stunning.
Right, so are they staterooms? Hold that thought. I want to talk about staterooms in a minute and what kind of bang you get for your buck. You're enjoying 94.9.
Community radio is all about breaking down stereotypes. Joy 94.9 would love to hear from women who can confidently work with all things engineering and IT. For more info, visit joy.org.au.
Adam, what is your number one travel hint or recommendation?
Declosing self-interest, use a travel agent.
Okay, fair enough.
Second one is get your shots. If you get your shots, see a travel doctor before you travel overseas. Make sure that you're vaccinated for the places that you're going to.
Yeah.
Because you may find yourself stuck in Colombia trying to cross to Costa Rica and you haven't had your yellow fever shot and they won't let you in.
Has that happened to anyone you know?
It has happened to a client of mine and they didn't have the yellow fever shot. And
so they said, shoo.
Yep, they don't let you in.
Because a yellow fever is something you have to have over multiple shots over time.
It takes 10 days.
Yeah, so you can't just go and get it done and then...
You can go from Australia to Colombia, no problem at all, and to Costa Rica, no problem at all, but for some reason between the two countries, there was a problem. So if ever you read on, smarttraveler.com.au, recommended that you get this, get it.
Very good. Yeah. Very good advice. I mean, normally I say things as prosaic as take money. Make sure you have credit on your credit cards before you go.
Call your bank before you go.
Yeah, that's another good one because you always throw money at a problem. But a lot of travellers don't have the luxury of that. So we've got to think about people who are travelling on a shoestring. Yeah. And that would be crushing if you really wanted to go to a country. And it's a simple thing as a vaccination.
And money doesn't solve that problem. Trying to bribe the doctor doesn't work.
No. Yeah, and also getting ill doesn't work, so it's not worth it. So great advice. So what else? Adam Boll, what are you doing next? What's your next travel?
Frosty Fruits is the next big thing. Yep. We do have some events on during the Sydney Pride Month, which is actually coming up in June. So we've actually
That's right. Yep.
We've actually got an indoor skiing event, which ties in with Frosty Fruits.
Yep, very cool.
So you can actually do that. And we've got an art gallery tour that we're actually doing up there as well.
In Sydney? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
So the next big thing for us with the Melbourne people would be Frosty Fruits.
Come up to Sydney.
Yep.
Winter in Sydney, always love. I will be up in Sydney in about June, May, June, July, somewhere around there. Thank you very much for listening.
We'll do lunch.
Thank you for joining us today on Escape Pod. Listen in all afternoon. We've got the lovely guys from Critical here following us just after the show and then a huge lineup. So stick with us on Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.